The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to Nicodemus, "The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of earthly things. But the one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever does accept his testimony certifies that God is trustworthy. For the one whom God sent speaks the words of God. He does not ration his gift of the Spirit. The Father loves the Son and has given everything over to him. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever disobeys the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains upon him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we find, of course, this the continuation of the passages that we've been reading this week, that we've heard proclaimed this week, right out of the Gospel of John, and we're reminded again of the context in which this scene is set, and in fact, it would be helpful to go to the verses immediately prior to this passage and see where some of this comes from, so that it's not, say, taken wholly out of context, at least for us in our own reflections. We see immediately before this John and his disciples, rather the disciples of John the Baptist, are coming to him and asking about Jesus, who is baptizing and experiencing, experiencing, he has greater crowds than John. Is he experiencing more fruit in his ministry? I mean, probably it's Jesus. And is there then the challenge that is rather in the disciples of John the Baptist, is there this kind of his camp or our camp, and his way or our way, and what does it mean to be, a member of this preparatory movement that is John the Baptist movement? John the Baptist has no concern at all about the coming on the scene of Jesus of Nazareth. Now, in fact, he sees his mission and his ministry as precisely that preparation for what's to come. He's the friend of the bridegroom, and Jesus is the bridegroom now come to claim his bride. And so John the Baptist is eager to push him forward. And of course, at this time in the Gospel of John, although John the Baptist's disciples and even John himself and John the Baptist himself would not have seen it, John's mission and ministry was coming to an end. He was soon hereafter arrested, put in jail, beheaded. So I think that our challenge here is when we say reattach those parts of the gospel, then we see how Jesus's exhortation here and Jesus's words to Nicodemus take on much more life, because we have a better contrast of what is the way of the world, or as it said here, the one who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of earthly things, versus the one who comes from heaven and who is above all. And here, what we find in the one who is of heaven is the life of heaven in him. And I think that we can point actually to both Jesus, of course, because God is giving testimony in and as Jesus. We can see the life of heaven at work in John the Baptist as well, in as much as he embodies this humble and self-giving life of God. I mean, that's what the life of God is. God is the eternal exchange of Father and Son in the Spirit, right? It's the ecstatic exchange, the going beyond themselves of the Father, Son, and Spirit. We see that the full personal intimacy, the full fulfillment of personal relations in the Trinity, but this going beyond always for the other, and how that is then poured out for us in creation. It's poured out for us in redemption, in Jesus' work of redeeming us. It's poured out for us in the life and work of the Spirit on earth. When we look around today, okay, let me cut to the chase. This happens to me, my friends, every time I try to talk about the Gospel of John. I just tie myself up into knots, and then I try to see if I can untie myself. I don't know what it is about John's Gospel, but I'm reminded of one of the scholars that I follow in the Scriptures, N.T. Wright, who says something to the effect of, the Gospel of John is very much like my wife. I love her dearly, and I understand her not a bit. Do you know? It's like, it's just, yes, John, he's got everything for us, and it's fantastic. But I just tie myself up into knots every time. What do we have here for ourselves? I think we have to be on the lookout, my friends, for the word of heaven. We have to be on the lookout today for Jesus's guidance. And I think the challenge for us today is that we don't experience the Jesus's guidance. We don't experience the word of God in a vacuum, as though, everything were perfectly silent. And here, speaking into the void, is God, right? Or we hear Jesus's voice, or even the prompting of the Spirit in a vacuum. No, we live in relative cacophony. Like, how many competing voices are there? Yeah, and how many people? How many news conferences are we watching every day? I make these guys watch at least one every day, just for the sake of it. But who are we listening to? What kind of articles are we reading? What kind of experts are we going to today? And is it all too earthly? How many times you read an article, and let's assume perhaps that it was about, I don't know, the coronavirus or something, okay? How many times you read an article and you walk away and you feel hope or joy or peace? Now here's a challenge for you, because there can be quote-unquote positive articles. There can be quote-unquote positive news conferences and updates and the rest. But what does that hope consist of? Right? Is it hope for health? Is it hope for prosperity? Right? It's an interesting question, right? Because what are we looking for? Because we have to get to what we're looking for, because we have to sort out for ourselves. We have to allow God to sort out for us what is His life, His plan, His goal, right? What is His hope versus what is the hope of the world? And I know my heart well enough, my friends, to know that I'm drawn off into trusting in any number of things other than the triune God. Right? I want to trust in modern medicine. So, oh, great, breakthrough. Yes, go, 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 right? And it's like, but what does that mean? What does it mean out of context? You know, like, I want to trust in our ability to continue to sustain and develop, even as we're, quote unquote, paused, whatever that means, our economy and the rest, that we can still be a prosperous people. And my heart is drawn into that. But I see in myself that when my heart is drawn into that, or into, say, potential successes in the medical field, those are very short-lived. And I rise and I fall. And I rise and I fall. It's not the way of God. It's not the way of God. This is an attempt at reshuffling the stuff of earth to give us what we think is better for ourselves. But instead of investing there, my friends, it's ours to invest in the life of heaven. And what is the life of heaven? The life of heaven. Let me give you a hallmark, okay? If what I just said is the life of earth, that makes us on the lookout for what we have to gain, right? So this medical cure, great. Well, then I can again feel protected against the elements or against this virus or again, whatever, right? I'm protected. My physical material life protected. The economy, right? Like what do I have to gain? I don't want to be poor. I don't want to have, you know, I don't want to lack material resources. You know, I want my favorite, whatever, toothpaste or my favorite food or my favorite whatever, right? I want to drive my car whenever I want. I don't want to think about the restrictions that this might put on my life. I want to see my friends whenever I want to see my, you know, I want to do what I want to do. What do I have to gain? Right? This is the way of earth. It's self-seeking. It's self-centered. It's self-seeking, self-absorbed, self-concerned. Whether you want to make it in the harshest terms or the other, right? It's about the self. Not so with the life of heaven. And we see that in John the Baptist. We see it most clearly in Jesus, who goes all the way to the end, giving himself. What can I give? That's the question. That's the life of heaven. What can I give? And that's what our encounter with the world has to be. We have to be looking to give ourselves away. It only happens when we first do it in prayer. And that's why we're here today. That's why we're gathered around this altar today. Is we are giving ourselves over to God. And giving ourselves over to God, we have opened up in us by Christ, a receptive heart to receive his love, to receive his very life, to receive the life of heaven here and now. And receiving that life, we then can do nothing other than seek to give it away wherever we go. We were read today because of St. George, martyr, right? Martyrdom makes no sense to the world. Right, it makes as little sense today as it did 2,000 years ago. But martyrdom is the full expression of Christian life because martyrdom is love going all the way to the end. It's love all the way through, right? Every fiber of my being and all the way to the end. Not even death can deter the love of the martyr. What a great victory that is. And it's ours to live in that victory, which is the victory of Jesus Christ. It's ours to live in that victory today. And if we live in that victory today, then we not only have heard the heavenly word, but we have embodied the life of heaven for a world that needs it. And we've become people not on the lookout for what we have to gain in this thing or that thing or the other thing, but what we have to give. And the more fully we live into the victory of Jesus over death, we will look to give ourselves away. We will become love. Again, in every fiber of our being, we'll become the full expression of love. And we will bring God's loving rule and the life of heaven to earth, as he intends to be the case.